One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I've lived day to day, and listened to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. This sharply dressed man sitting next to me in the three-piece suit and the top hat is Dave Callens.
I'm wearing my best hoodie. Come on.
And with me in this tasteful superhero cape, Mr. Robert Timothy.
It's really more of a Phantom of the Opera cape, but yeah, okay.
Well, it's got the initials VJ on it. I didn't know what that was supposed to mean. It's also red. Couple things wanted to get into. First off, I had to put this out there because someone's been bothering me. I see it a lot on Facebook. I've got a large amount of people, you know, on my friends list because, you know, I do entertainment stuff. Maybe people that, like, try and keep their friends list to just the people they know personally don't experience this as much. But then again, maybe they do. It's people constantly going on social media or just in life and saying, no one's allowed to judge me. Just out of nowhere, like, no one judge me. You're not allowed to judge me. Which is, first of all, not true at all.
I know, true. Like, you stating that just brought a whole bunch more judgment
oh, yeah.
your way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this whole thing, I hear this said all the time. No one can judge me. That is the falsest statement I've heard
right.
in forever.
Yeah.
Like, you might be able to make the case no one's in a position to judge.
I don't care if people judge.
Right. You know things like that.
But if you're stating no one can judge me, you're automatically admitting that you care that other people are currently judging you.
Right. And saying they're not able to, which I sure can.
Yep.
And really, I think we need to go back to, you know, making it more socially acceptable to judge people. I'm not saying...
Is it not? I judge people all the time. Well, so it's not socially acceptable.
Well, no. We are moving towards an age where it's beginning to be like, oh, you're shaming them. No one should judge anybody without knowing their story. By the way, you're not allowed to ask their story because I don't have to explain myself to anyone.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of that going on.
But we all agree that some people should be judged, right? Like, if we take the far extreme example, hey, that guy is a child pornographer. We would all agree, let's judge him. In fact, let's take him to a courtroom specifically so a guy called a judge can then deal out judgment
towards
him.
Although, think about it, that would be an ironclad defense if the guy stood up and said, no one can judge me.
That's true. Like,
oh, shit, he just said that.
Fuck.
Now we can't do it.
You want to explain this box of tapes? I don't have to explain myself to anyone in this society we're all living in.
We'd all agree that that person should be judged. We all would also agree on the flip side that there are people who maybe shouldn't be judged. Like, let's say somebody who is in a wheelchair. We shouldn't judge them for their inability to get upstairs, right?
So
there are these polar opposites. And in between, there's a big range of judgment that we can apply.
But my point is, we are moving as a society towards no judgment for anyone.
Right.
No one should have to explain themselves. And now, coming at people like, you're judging that person, how dare you? I think there should be a healthy amount of judgment in our society. I'm not saying we should go back to like the 1950s and before, where neighborhoods were a series of old ladies looking at through their blinds and making up the unflattering stories about people. And oh, by the way, don't get divorced because then we'll make up a whole thing about that. But I think there should be a healthy amount of, yeah, let's judge that person a little bit. I'll give you an example. Two examples, actually. I have two. Number one, personally for me, is number of years ago, I was working for a big company, big horrible company, and after 4 years there, I got let go. And it was
was it due to your voice?
Yeah, that was part of it. That was front and center on the
voice. It was the things my voice was saying at the time.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was a sex phone operator, so it did make sense for them to fire him.
The violence came into play.
You're just not passing as Veronica anymore, Shores.
So it was like I said, it was one of those bigger companies where they weren't even fighting your unemployment. Like what?
Right.
Like you know, there was such a high turnover and such like ethical problems there. It was just like, you know what? If you get let go, you're getting unemployment. So, and as a matter of fact, when I was at this company, I was younger, in my early 20s. A lot of the people I was working with, I'd hear this all the time. Like, hey, how you doing, man? Well, trying to get fired right now so I can get unemployment because I really want to travel, you know, take some me time.
Oh, yeah, that's a for real thing, for sure.
People say that all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, normal. Like, it's not even them, like, hey, come here. Come here. I have this dubious, very nefarious scheme here that I'm going to try to get fired and then abuse the system.
Right.
No, it's just some dude named Trevor in a hoodie going, trying to get fired right now so I can, maybe go to Europe.
Not fired. Fired, you don't get unemployment. It's let go.
Well, now they fire you for cause, but
you're right.
So I misspoke. So anyway, I got let go, and a lot of these same people were saying the same things to me, like, dude, you worked there for 4 long years. Take some U time. Take a few months off. Make this. It's summer, dude. Make a vacation out of it. I was out of work for 3 weeks before I found a new gig.
Right.
And the reason being, because I'm going to admit, all that sounded very tempting. Like, I was going to be making the same in unemployment, which I was making right. at that company yeah. for a salary.
Absolutely.
So I was like, that does sound a little bit, I mean, yeah, I can't go out to eat every night, but yeah. like, you know, damn. But the thing is, what stopped me, what got me on the computer every day looking for, like, putting out resumes, shame.
Yeah.
Judgment. The fear, because I did not want to be the guy where when I meet new people and they say, what do you do? I did not want to be the, well, right now guy.
Right.
I never want to start my sentences with, well, right now I got this thing. Well, but I used to. Well, I mean, I'm working toward, well, right now I don't want to be that guy. I just want to be, I work here. No, yeah. no further explanations. So judgment and the fear of it got me on the fucking internet putting out resumes. I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
And you missed out on all that me time.
Yeah.
That's why you're such a stunted individual right now.
That could be. I don't deserve nice things. Second example, this girl, I wouldn't call her my friend. More of an acquaintance. We have some mutual friends. She's back in Pennsylvania. I met her out here. And here's what I know about her for sure. She had a kid real early with some scumbag. I'm not saying that should define your character.
Are you
always.
Judging the guy that she had a kid with? It's not
yes.
like you're judging him.
He took off almost immediately, so absolutely.
He needed some me time. Come on.
So I know that she's in Pennsylvania, I think in like Philly, and I know that her folks are down in Florida. And shortly after having this kid, she tried to be a single mom for like a year. And then promptly gave the kid to her folks down in Florida for them to raise. Returned to Philly. I also know this about her. Her whole life revolves around hanging out, going to shows, and pointing her PBR can proudly at the camera when it's pointed at her. By the way, I see that a lot. I don't know, why are people so proud of PBR?
I think everybody's trying to get a sponsorship.
Unpaid brand ambassador.
Yeah, I guess so. But, just every post is about, hey, need money to go see Danzig. Hey, trying to go to Riot Fest or whatever. It's always about hanging out, shows, blah, blah, blah. Also, about once every 2 years, she'll mosey down to Florida on her parents' dime and, you know, check in on the kid. Take a few pictures of them at the beach together, you know. Like, oh, can't believe he's growing up so fast. I imagine not. You never yeah. fucking see the kid. So
PBR can in the background.
He's holding a PBR sippy cup. You know, so she'll do that, and then it's back off to Pennsylvania to go, you know, resume being a fun-loving single gal. And I saw a couple years ago, she posted on Facebook, and I shouldn't have fucking said anything. I should have kept it to myself. I knew it was a mistake when I was typing it. She put up there, hey, guys, Mother's Day is coming up. Here's a few things that I'm really hoping for.
Wow. Is Mother's Day now Christmas? Have I been doing this wrong?
Right. So there's that. There's that. And she's just, I mean, I don't know if it was half as a joke, like, hey, Mother's Day is coming up, could really love this, but or really, you know, hoping someone gets her something. But then, I shouldn't have said anything. I knew what this was going to obligate me to. How much time it was going to eat up, but I couldn't help myself after seeing years of this. I put, why would anyone get you a Mother's Day gift?
Yeah, because usually the two people who are obligated, the two groups of people who are obligated to get you a Mother's Day gift are either A, your kids, or B, your husband who has, or who, your baby daddy who got you pregnant. Those
right.
are the people who should be getting you Mother's Day gifts.
Right.
Apparently, the baby daddy is out of the picture. Kid is both too young and apparently not aware who that's his actual
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, probably doesn't really know her that well. Like,
yeah.
Here's this lady that visits me a couple times.
Probably refers to her as Pam and,
yeah.
to his grandparents as mom and dad.
Right.
Don't know that. Don't know her story, but I do probably. And so anyway, I said, well, why would anyone get you a Mother's Day? I acted like clueless, like, well, why would that happen? And she goes, because I'm a mom. And then shortly after, post said picture of her in Florida with the kid, you know, her once every 2 year trip.
Right.
And I went, no, I know you have a kid, but shouldn't your parents be getting the gift? Because honestly, my understanding is a Mother's Day in general is to celebrate, you know, all you do for your kid the rest of the year. And to my knowledge, and that summoned immediately, you can't judge me. No one can judge me. And no one can judge me unless they hear my story. And I went, I'm listening. And that got into, who do you think you are? I don't have to tell you shit. Well, which is it then?
Right.
Which is it? Do I not get to judge you unless I hear the story? Or do I not get to ask the story? Is it both? And then, you know, the thing is, the picture of her in Florida, I'm like, I'd like to see a picture of you getting home at fucking 6 after beginning to get up after working all day and have him just yabber at you the whole ride home even though you're tired and you feign interest in the fact that his friend at school saw a dog yesterday and then fucking see a pile of electric bills and rent and all that just sitting on the fucking table when you get home. I'd like to see that picture as why you should get a fucking Mother's Day gift. Not that you went down to Florida for a day, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm judging. Judgmental.
I love the whole, just the statement, you can't judge me. Because A, it's demonstrably false, proven by the fact that other people are currently judging you.
Yeah.
But it's like any other just statement of untrue claim. Like she could just yell like, nobody can beat me up. It's like, nah, I feel like Cyborg would have a good shot.
Yeah, yeah.
The way we get around this, the way we move past this ridiculous social hurdle, we just have to come up with a new word for judging. It's the same thing when we had to stop saying retard.
I choose
come
you.
Come up with new words. So, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm assessing you.
Oh, there we go.
Are you
like
taking
that.
Away my right to assess you?
I like that.
I can assess anyone.
You can't judge my right to assess.
Exactly.
Did you just assume my assessment?
I like this, Dave. This is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to assume the shit out of people this week.
Well, that and like anybody who thinks that, who thinks nobody can judge me, that's because you are a piece of shit who has something they don't want to be judged
at.
Right.
Exactly. Like, you don't hear people who have legitimate complaints about that. Like, it's not like the guy I mentioned before, the wheelchair guy's like, hey, don't judge me for not going upstairs. No, he never has to say that because nobody's doing it.
Right. No, for me, when people, like, if anyone gets close to judging, I'm like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I want to assess you as a step-parent. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, your kid's not perfect. She's got her problems. All right. Yep. Let's examine what I've done and the whole situation. And in fact, let's get way into it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I like when the chick was like, you can't judge me unless you've heard my story. I would have thought, like, I've actually been watching your story over the past several years.
Well, that is another thing.
On social media.
I
kind of know your story.
Nowadays, that's a great point. Nowadays, we tell our story on a daily basis.
We
have essentially given ourselves a autobiography that covers day by day.
We all have those friends, too, who, like, tell the story to such detail that it's fucking boring as shit. Like,
oh my God.
Hey, what should I have for dinner today? Chicken nuggets or a hot dog? Like,
oh yeah.
You can keep some stuff to yourself. Okay?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like some people put everything about their life out on the internet, and that's fine. That's what you choose to do. I certainly do that to a degree. But the thing is, when someone then says, all right, I know everything about you, and here's where you're a fuck up, you can't then like retcon and go, you don't know my story. Yeah, I very much do. That's why I came up with all this. If I didn't know her story, and all I heard is her go, it's Mother's Day coming up. Who wants to get me a gift? I'd go, oh, she must have a kid. And that would be the end of it. But I do know her story, and that's why I judged.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking, Ryan. We start a social media superhero of sorts.
Called, well, let me guess, it's you.
No, this is kind of like anonymous in that it's a group of people who all get together for the better good.
Are they all wearing Guy Fawkes masks?
We got to do something.
Can we call
different.
Them Anonymous?
We got to do something. No, it's going to be called Judgment. And
mine's better.
This is just a profile that goes around to other people's social media profiles and judges them just like you did and does so in a way like we can gather a whole bunch of people together so that if somebody says, hey, you can't judge me, all of a sudden there's 100 responses. I'm judging you. Me too. Yeah, I love judging this person. Fuck this person. Let me assess them. Like over and over again. And so anytime somebody proclaims they can't be judged, we have this group of like 200 people who are just waiting to judge the shit out of them.
Oh, I can't wait. Can the profile pick be like Clifford the Red Dog or something weird, something random that has nothing to do with anything.
Just don't pick Pepe the Frog. That's taken.
Speaking of judgment.
Assessment.
Speaking of assessment, why does our society keep putting up with Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey is, I don't know what he's famous for because he's not like a funny comedian.
I know he had a show in the 90s on the WB when they were trying to compete with ABC. He's just a medium talent.
Now, here's all I know of Steve Harvey. Wasn't he like his big boost of fame wasn't from the original Kings of Comedy.
The original Kings of Comedy.
Which is, by the way, should be sued for false advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Original Kings of Comedy? Really?
Letting that slide, he was easily the worst one.
Yeah.
Like, who else was on that? Bernie Mac was hilarious.
But Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric is good. But he was not good. And the only other thing that I know him from is fucking up the announcement on the
Mets. Right. This is a guy that cannot read a note card properly.
Yeah.
He is just an unapologetic dick.
Yeah.
By the way, how did he become the king of daytime? How many shows does Steve Harvey have? 13? 14? I feel like every time I stay home for the day or I'm cooped up in a hotel watching TV, I flip around and it's just 18 Steve Harvey shows, one after the other, on different channels. I can't get away from him, and he's being a dick to everybody.
And yeah. What's funny is, at one point, he gave like his very famous advice. Like, he's a uber-Christian guy, and his super famous advice was Christian women, I don't know what you're doing if you're trying to date non-Christian men. They have no morals, so like, what could you possibly be dating them for, and you're fucking up if you're doing that. Meanwhile, he got caught cheating on his wife with another woman multiple times. He's the serial philanderer.
Well, she was a Christian woman, so
yeah, that's true.
Right. And have you seen how he interacts with these guests? These are people that are just like doughy white people from the Midwest that are getting a chance to maybe win a Prius.
When you're saying from the Midwest, you can leave out doughy. That's kind of a right.
Sure. I misspoke. But yeah, it's just people that are just super happy to be there. Have you ever been able to be angry at a game show contestant?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a more pleasant person, just generally speaking, in the world than some dude on some daytime TV show like The Price is Right, just jumping up and down because he won $31? He's always just in this constant state of rolling his eyes. If someone dares to touch his shoulder, he makes a big over-gestulated look at it like, what? Why do we put up with this unfunny
prick? Where does this arrogance come from? Like, what?
Right.
I honestly think that most of his fame is due to the mustache. He's got a giant, bushy mustache. And I think most of it is like, man, that's just something appealing about that stash.
It's no Magnum P.I., bro. It's not even that good.
It's pretty big.
So I've never understood why anyone likes him. And I thought that I never needed another reason to dislike him. It turns out I was wrong. Because he's starting his 27th show that's about to air.
The Cash Me Outside Girl's co-hosting with him.
Right.
Steve Harvey wears a suit number 3. Is that the name of the show?
Well, he wears a suit in all of them.
Yeah,
so
that's
and there's way more than 3. I don't know if this one is another game show, another talk show. Maybe he just comes out and talks down to people. Not sure. I kind of like that one.
The letter that he wrote has been leaked.
Yeah. So we have the letter. So, Bobby, you got it right in front of you. Can you read us this memo that went out to his staff?
I'll do my best Steve Harvey impression.
Please don't.
Okay.
So you're going to read the letter wrong?
Yeah.
Boom, nailed it.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season 5 of my talk show. There will be no meeting in my dressing room.
There will be no meeting. I love that phrasing, first of all. There will be no meeting, and the meetings will continue until this rule is followed, too.
No stopping by or popping in capitals, no one.
No one.
Let's start off, the side note. Fine, fair enough. If you
fair
don't
enough.
Want people coming in your dressing room, I'll go with you on
I'm
that.
I'm on board.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
Every once in a while, a production assistant probably has to peek their head in, but if it's annoying to you at this point, fine, whatever.
Never mind the fact that if the PA does have to pop in, it's probably something related to the production of the fucking show. So whatever.
And I am sure that there must have been some low-level staff bringing their family by for an autograph to prove that I work on this show, you know, give them a thrill. So I'm sure that goes on. Please continue.
Number 2, do not come into my dressing room unless invited. I feel like that was covered in the first one.
Right.
That's like a reverse vampire rule.
Okay. Number 3, do not open my dressing room door, in caps. If you open my door, expect to be removed. Okay, it seems to be getting repetitive at this point.
Right. By the way, who is going to remove said person? Is it Steve Harvey?
Yeah. Well, if so, then he's going to have to leave that dressing room.
It sounds like he just doesn't get how the lock on the door works.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. How much do you want to bet that this all stem from somebody walking in and seeing his dong? Like, because this really seems like there's a lot of energy put towards this. Number 4.
Now they came in and he was furiously masturbating to a picture of Wendy Williams.
Number 4, my security team will stop everyone from standing at my door who have the intent to see or speak to me. He really seems to have a lot of things about this dressing room door.
Yeah. That's his me time.
Now, did he lock it once and all of a sudden like sparks started coming from the handle as someone drilled their way through?
Number five, I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. Okay, I've got some questions.
Yeah.
Now, by
I like to picture it as a legitimate ambush.
Yeah, so
like,
do
they're
I.
Wearing helmets and camouflaged gear.
A bunch of guys are up on the scaffolding.
Swarm,
they wait for
swarm.
Him to pass through. They jump down, grab him by the shoulders, horse collar tackle him.
And by the way, he says, this includes TV staff. Who is this to?
Right.
Is there anyone not TV staff getting this memo? Oh, by the way, this is going to be mailed out to the greater Atlanta area.
No, he wanted this leaked so that people like us know we can't ambush
you. Right. Yeah, you either.
You must schedule an appointment. Seems like an odd little side note, but okay, fair enough.
Well, how do I get one of these appointments?
An appointment to ambush him? What are we talking about here?
Next one. I have been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past.
And by my pastor in my youth.
This ends now. Caps lock, no more.
Oh, yeah. It's very difficult to be the man that has the sweetest gigs in the world, daytime TV.
Yeah, he definitely sounds like he's had a really lenient policy up till now.
By the way,
he
I like how
like a sweetheart.
He is emphasizing no staff and everything like that. I've been using my lenient policy about talking to people regarding the production I'm involved in.
By the way, is this not going to be a get-out-of-jail-free card next time he says, why wasn't I told about this? The person that fucked up, like, I'd have that memo in my back pocket at all times. You said, don't talk to you.
Ryan, you used to work in an office. What would it be like if you just announced to everybody, hey, you know what? Nobody talked to me anymore.
Right.
Even staff here. I don't want to deal with anybody here.
Right. As soon as the doctor came running up and said, you know what? You didn't check this patient in. He was waiting in the lobby for 2 hours. I could go, this ends now.
Like, no
more.
No ambushing.
Yeah, yeah. You're ambushing me.
Next one. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Either knock or use the doorbell.
You said not to use a door!
Also, wait. What chair has a doorbell?
Doorbell? Where the fuck is he recording?
He's just done in his house. That's why he's so mad about his privacy.
Next one. I am seeking more free time for me throughout the day. That doesn't seem like an order. That just seems like a random non sequitur. Next. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me. I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment. I'd like that he specified hallway, because that means that if you catch him in an open room, it's fair game.
Yeah.
It's only hallways where you're not allowed
to. You're not going to. That's not going to happen, because you're going to use the doorbell or get past security to use the doorbell.
Next one. I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway, and do not attempt to walk
with me.
Have
people just been asking to juggle or something? Like, hey, show me that card trick. He's like, all right. One last time, though. Last time.
I like the idea that Steve Harvey has, like, a weird confinement issue. Like, if you catch him in a room that's bigger than 6x6, you're fine. But if you try and walk and talk with him in any kind of narrow space, he's going to stiff-arm you and Heisman away.
I feel like he's broad-shouldered enough where you guys would get stuck in the hallway if you tried to walk next
to him. Maybe that's his concern.
That's why.
You just hear, as you scrape against the side of the linoleum.
I just like that he keeps using the term ambush, because I imagine somebody planting an IED in the hallway as he's walking by. If I see anybody in a hallway, I'm punching you in the face and asking questions later. What this reads like is, it reads like one day he was sitting in his dressing room, somebody knocked on his door he didn't like, bothered him once, and he sat down on his phone and just started typing an angry email. You can tell there's almost like a single incident that led to one repeatedly just droning on repetitive note.
By the way, how shitty to be that guy that after visiting him, all of a sudden an email goes out immediately after. Don't visit me. You know it's you. Also, you know, it's one thing when like a big star, someone a lot of people respect, you know, have these outrageous demands, like your Axl Rose or your Bob Dylan. You know, but this guy is the entertainer for people that don't matter, people that are home all day watching TV. It's just unemployable assholes. He's their demigod, so don't disturb him. He needs to come up with genius material for the masses.
Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Have you guys ever heard the whole brown M&Ms thing? You know,
the Van Halen story.
Right. So they would have a thing in the writer that said no brown M&Ms, and for a while people were like, oh, what a bunch of snooty BS people who put in stupid things, no brown M&Ms in the dressing room. But they responded, no, our manager did this. He's really smart. The reason he did it is because early on, one of our guys got electrocuted during a show because our equipment was set up wrong by all the roadies. So we put on all these really specific requirements. You have to have this many surge protectors, this many everything.
To make sure they had attention to detail.
Yeah, and buried deep within that is the no brown M&Ms. So all the manager had to do was walk into the dressing room, see if there was brown M&Ms. If there wasn't, he knew they followed all the rules really specifically,
right,
and the band was safe. And if there was, he'd have to go check all the electronics to see what was going on. Maybe this is Steve Harvey's thing. Maybe the hallway is his brown M&Ms.
He's a brown M&M.
I don't know how that would work, but okay.
The whole thing was really about doorbell ringing while he's in the makeup chair.
He got electrocuted ringing his own doorbell this time. No, one of his staff got electrocuted and sued him. So he's like, no more of that. No, that's the thing, too, is like there's such an arrogance to this. Like you said, he's just Steve Harvey.
He's the third best king of comedy.
Like, to send this letter out to everyone, you know there was just a handful of staff that was bothering him. I promise you, no matter who the star is, there's a handful of staff that does not give a fuck.
Right.
They deal with his talent all the time, so they don't care. But he has the need to send this letter out to everyone. Like, there's people that work with Johnny Depp who like don't care that it's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Well, that's
true.
Also because a lot of times those people don't necessarily work directly for Johnny Depp. They work for the producer of the movie, who's a bigger person than Johnny Depp on that movie, and that guy wants to know something at that moment.
Also, I mean, Johnny Depp must seem more down to earth when he's asking everyone for money.
Yeah, he's falling on some hard times.
He's falling on some hard. Apparently, this is another thing, is that Johnny Depp, it came out that he makes like something in the neighborhood of $650 million over like a 10-year period.
Jesus.
$650 million between just upfront money for his movies, back end.
I bet you most of that's pirates, too.
Oh, yeah.
Pirates made him so much money.
And by the way, some of these are voice acting gigs.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to show up and dress as a pirate.
Yeah.
Yes, and so he makes that much, and he's close to bankruptcy.
Yes.
Because for every dollar he earns, he spends two on credit.
Well, not just that, but he's going through a very public divorce, and he is going to pay a lot of money to someone who, ironically, is dating somebody richer than Johnny Depp currently. So,
right.
So she shouldn't. She's now dating Elon Musk.
No. But that's only a small part of it, because she's probably only going to get $25 million in that divorce. His former business managers, who he's suing right now, as it's their fault, he's like, they've mismanaged my money. I'm broke. I have literally no capital. I'm living on my American Express card.
Wow.
They're like, this guy has like two yachts. He's got a French chateau.
He owns a series of islands.
Yeah. And they came to him many times and said, you got to sell some of this shit. He's like, I can't sell Jesus' sandals. What am I going to use as shower shoes?
But I love in the same interview where Johnny Depp was like, they mismanaged my money. In the same interview, he's like, hey, I'm rich. If I want to spend $30,000 a month on cotton balls, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how Johnny Depp is like the white Mike Tyson. You know, like,
yeah.
Like how many hundreds of millions of dollars have you made and you don't have any of it?
Yeah.
Any of it? You didn't have one smart money manager who took, I don't know, 1/100th. You took $1 million, put it in some kind of decent retirement account, and you would be set. You would still be fine with just that. A couple $1 million in any kind of cash-bearing CD, you are fine at this point in your life.
Right.
Dude, the thing that really caught my attention, I read the whole article, and being a guy who's lived paycheck to paycheck most of his life, the thing that caught my attention was when they're listing off all of his expenses. It was like, and he pays $3.6 million a year to a staff of 40 people. And real quick, I did the math. I'm like, oh, that's $90,000 a person. Ooh, I wonder if I could get a job being his assistant.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be some pretty good money.
Yeah.
Just as long as you weren't the accountant, apparently, you're fine.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have that job. It's not job security at this point. You might be unemployed very quickly. Unless he sells the chateau in France.
I'm the guy who knocks on Johnny Depp's dressing room door and interrupts him. That's my job.
No, ring the doorbell, damn it. Ring the doorbell.
I couldn't be too judgmental, you know, because excessive.
Right.
We changed that word. Because I know that, you know, I'm a person that never had money in his early 20s. And as I started making it, I kept finding myself broke by next payday because I tend to spend what I make. It's a flaw. And I just thought about that on such a grand scale.
Right.
Like, he's got to spend it. But then I thought back to me, I'm like, my upgrades have been, I'm not drinking Miller High Life anymore. I make $50,000 a year.
I'm drinking PBR, and he holds it up to the camera. Get that sponsorship.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm thinking like, maybe this would have been me. I can't say it wouldn't be.
Right.
But then again, there's just so much that I don't think I could ever spend money past a certain point. For instance, bourbon. I know that there's some bourbons out there that cost $350 a bottle. I never see a reason to have anything past, like, Bullet for $30.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, too, is, like, I'm the same as you. Like, I tend to spend what I make. Like, I go to that budget. And it's probably a bad way to live your life, but, I mean, it's not horrible.
Yeah.
At the same point, it's like, I also, as much as he's fucked up and he's gotten himself into trouble, I do kind of see his point where he's like, you know what, if I want to spend $30,000 on bullshit, I can do that. I'm like,
But apparently he can't.
Right, but
That's
he can't, though, yeah.
And what would always perplex me about those people is, like, honestly, it takes such a small percentage to set you up for life. I've thought about this about NBA players a bunch, because there's some statistic where, like, a couple years out of the league, NFL and NBA players are bankrupt in an insanely high rate. And I always thought, you know, you don't need to take half your paycheck and put it away like the rest of us would in order to be financially secure for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
You need to take this 2-4% portion and put it away. And honestly, if it's in a good retirement account, you're set. You're fine. And you do that for 2 years on an NBA contract, and you're good. And yet they go completely broke. Like, they can't just spend 98% of the paycheck. It's got to be 105.
Right.
Right. And the thing is, I think the biggest trouble people get into is when they buy things that continue to cost them money.
That's true.
You know, because for
boats,
boats that require a staff, you know, because what I think of, like, when I think
girlfriends.
Of, like,
girlfriends.
When I think of, you know, what I'd buy if I was rich, I think of, like a Les Paul Black Beauty, you know, a guitar. You know, I'm like, that's something that'll never cost me another dime.
Right.
But, you know, if every month I had to give $2,000 to the Les Paul to keep it maintained and make sure it was looked after, then that's something that's going to continue to drain me. But I don't think that. I think, okay, I spent the $3,000 on the Les Paul. That $3,000 is spent, and I don't see that my bank account's being drained by it, you know?
Right.
So I think that's where they get themselves in trouble.
And things that depreciate. You know, you buy a brand new Bentley, you are going to depreciate that thing 40% in the first 6 months, you know? So, like, you've just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars into nothingness.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The homes, I can understand.
Yeah, but that gains value.
Yeah. But, you know, and buying multiple of things, you know, two private jets, you know, two yachts. You can only be at one at a time.
I wonder what Johnny Depp's budget goes to. I would love to see, like, what he's really eating it on. Like, what is he really wasting that cash on?
Yeah, because in the article it said, like, when the managers, you know, had a meeting with him to kind of stop the bleeding on his finances, it said something like, hey, you can't afford your $2 million monthly expenses, your $2 million in monthly expenses. And I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Jesus. And that's why
what do you spend that on?
I'd want to follow him around for a day, and I have, where, you know, I just want to see what a day in the life looks like, not so I can be impressed. I want to see where the money goes, because he's not having a $30,000 steak. I don't think he's really having $12,000 worth of wine in one day, but I just want to see him just live his life, brush his teeth, go throughout his day, and, like, you know, near dinner, he picks up the phone, give me $30,000 in cotton balls.
Well, that's why, like,
that's more like Elvis than Johnny Depp.
That's all I do.
That's why guys like Leno are so interesting to me. Like, Leno famously throughout his entire career,
he stashes money in his chin.
Of the Tonight Show, where he was just making bank, like bank,
right,
many, many tens of millions of dollars a year. He didn't touch a dime of his entire Tonight Show salary the entire time he was on the Tonight Show. He lived solely off his stand-up money.
Which was still very lucrative.
Right, but how many people would do that? Like, we're just talking about, he makes far less in stand-up than he does doing the Tonight Show, and yet he was able to say, like, fuck that, I'm banking all of this stuff, and I'm only spending my other stuff. I think those guys are way more interesting, because it's like somebody got to them at some point, and maybe they got famous later in life.
Okay, wait a minute. He goes, I live on only my stand-up gigs. Oh, by the way, I just bought a $300,000 car again.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? Because it wasn't stand-up.
No, he makes at least that much stand-up. Like, so, but he makes less. I mean, I think that's a...
I think it goes to cars.
Yeah.
I think it goes to cars.
But I agree with Shores. I don't think necessarily maybe someone got to, but maybe, like you said earlier, Shores, like, I spend what I make, but to a point. Like, I know 100% for certain, if I started making so much money, I wouldn't want to spend all that. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. I'd be like, because when I was married and me and my wife were making a shit ton of money, we had a pretty good size savings account. Like, we spent a lot, but we also saved a lot. Like, there's definitely a point I would hit where I'm like, I don't need to spend all this.
Right.
Let me start putting some away.
Yeah.
And I wonder if part of that happens because if somebody gets an NBA contract or an NFL contract, or if you're Johnny Depp and you get 21 Jump Street when you're 16 years old, I wonder if you just come up with that mentality of, I'm so used to having this money when I'm 18 years old that I don't know how to not blow it. Like, I just always think it's going to be there because it's always been there my entire life. Whereas, you know, Jay Leno was a struggling comic for a while. He did a bunch of stuff. So maybe because he had that time of not being wealthy when he was young and struggling and stuff, he gets that in his head and he doesn't need to blow all that cash.
True. And Johnny Depp was a star in the late 80s. But before Pirates came out, he was drifting towards indies pretty rapidly.
He wasn't a superstar. Yeah,
no.
You're right.
He was doing, you know, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. You know, he was losing money at the box office. He was not an A-list project for quite some time.
Right.
And it wasn't until 2003 where they're like, oop, superstar.
That was something I wanted to get into back when I was a financial advisor, just briefly. It was like 9 years ago, and I always thought, I would love to be like the financial advisor for the UFC. Like, teach all their guys, start putting money away, shit like that. Because
right.
not only do I love MMA, but I'd be able to help these
Talk
guys.
Talk about a group of people you do not want to disappoint, though.
I know, right? Well, what's funny is...
It's gone.
What's funny is Ala Quinta, who is a fighter... in the UFC, who's actually really good. He's storming. He's actually going towards the number one spot in his weight division.
Well, he's also feuding with them.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is he just won his last fight very decisively. He is beating the shit out of everybody they're putting in front of him. He's killing it. And he basically said, fuck it, not worth my time anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to residential real
estate. Right. Yeah.
It's kind of the same, it's similar, but a little different. The Diaz brothers, like, they made a shit ton of money. They're like, you know what? I'm not going to fight anymore unless it's really worth it.
Well, that's because you can, in those levels, you can make way more money in boxing. Where they're at, they are, especially Nick Diaz, can make way more money as a pro boxer than he can in the UFC, and he's not going to get suspended for marijuana because there's no USADA. I actually had a very interesting thing happen to me this week. There's something that happens when you work with scientists and that you're a scientist as well, which is...
You get bored to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. You start fighting about mastodons.
Spend all your money on cotton balls.
No, you get really proud when one of your scientist buddies makes a prediction that comes true. So I work with a lot of
archaeologists. You're up in Nostradamus?
Yeah, the scientist, Nostradamus. I've had a bunch of scientist buddies who make predictions about certain things. Like, for instance, I have an archaeologist friend who did stuff with remote sensing, and he's like, oh, based on these models I've made, we should look for archaeological sites here, here, and here because of some satellite stuff I've looked at. And then they went out and they found them, and I was really proud of him because I was like, oh, I heard him talking about that a year ago, about how he's going to look there and find that stuff, and now it's a big news. Way to go, buddy. Good job. That happened to me this week recently, and for the first time ever, even though it was a science prediction, it wasn't a scientist who made it. It was none other than Ryan Shores. Ryan, a few months ago, he posted something basically stating, and Ryan, you are a shark nerd. You love sharks.
Love sharks.
We've covered that before. You posted something in a very public setting, so everybody can go back and look at the date. It predates all this stuff. You posted, because of these unique weather conditions, because of what's going on right now, and he lists a whole bunch of them, I predict a very, very high number of sharks this summer.
Not just any sharks, great whites.
And I saw that. I made note, mental note. Okay, interesting. Let's see what happens. Keep going. Already, we're blowing the numbers out of the water. They just had to take a bunch of paddleboarders out of the water in Orange County the other day because they were right next to 15 great white sharks.
Can you imagine hearing, and by the way, they probably couldn't see anything.
Oh, no.
Great whites don't tend to breach like they do in the movies. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're just doing a little leisurely paddleboarding.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by 15 man-eating sharks. Proceed calmly to the shoreline.
The guy freaks out, and then the voice continues, this is actually one of the sharks. We figured out how to use megaphones. Just want to give you a fair chance.
Jump in the water with your hands up.
And there was a bite in Orange County not that
long ago.
It was
within days of Shores posting that.
Yeah.
Sharks started.
And it is coming out. So, Ryan, congratulations. I think you've crossed the realm into science. You made a stated prediction based on a series of variables that you saw coming up. And that prediction seems to be coming true quite quickly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, hang on. Before you congratulate him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. Too late.
We can edit it. When he made his prediction, and then literally days later, we started seeing these posts. And now we're seeing a ton of posts. It happened so quickly that I was like, I think he's in league with the sharks.
Oh, you've been planning
it? Or perhaps controlling them.
What if we did a music montage and it's Ryan walking along the beaches in Orange County.
Just chumming?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more along, like, he's got a T-bone in his hand and he just reaches down and rubs it on people's wetsuits while they're not looking. And he's just yeah, it's playing to, like, I'm into something good. And he's just running around, throwing meat everywhere.
You know, the thing is, because for listeners that don't know, I literally look into sharks every week, my whole life. That's my hobby. And I had a moment that I only thought happens in disaster movies when I was like looking over all the facts. All of a sudden, I was, because here are the facts, is that we're experiencing a heat wave. We experienced a drought followed by heavy rainfall, which made it's a lot to get into, but like cold water from out to sea came in. warm water went out. But anyway, what it resulted in is a perfect pupping ground for great white sharks, wherein they act aggressively when they're pupping, and it's gonna. I saw the boom coming, and I got to do that thing where I that move where I looked up and went, "My God, I've never got to do that in my life before."
And then, even better, just like every movie, you went online and told people that, and nobody listened.
I cannot tell you how many of my friends made fun of me, and those comments are still there. They all went back and no one went back and deleted them. I would have, because even Dave Callens was sitting there going, I forget what you said, but it was pejorative.
I think I said, "You're controlling the sharks." You're making this happen.
He's Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day.
He's trying to cover with all these quote-unquote facts and statistics when actually he unearthed a Mayan idol and unleashed a curse, and he is now the Shark Lord.
But anyway, for our listeners, I will say this. Please, without any jokes, do not swim between La Jolla and San Diego and Long Beach this summer. I predict a handful of more attacks.
Now, one thing I love to do every year, and maybe you can tell me if this is at risk or not. I go to Scripps Pier in August and September because of the leopard sharks.
Yeah.
And what are the other ones? Leopard sharks and nurse sharks.
Yeah.
And it's fucking amazing swimming with them. It's like 5-6 feet of water.
And nurse sharks are big. You'll feel like you're with a bull shark.
Yeah.
But they're not harmful.
Leopard sharks can get really big too. Yeah. And they look like you're with a crazy big shark, but they can't bite you.
Yeah.
But the thing is too, they're really skittish. So it's almost like seeing a ghost. Like as soon as you see it, it's gone the other direction. Is that going to be a dangerous area?
Is that's close to La Jolla, right?
Yes.
I wouldn't risk it.
But La Jolla's shallow.
Yes.
These sharks were in really shallow water in the video.
But you got to come into a shallow bay.
It's shallow, which is perfect for pupping. This is why they're coming so close to shore.
Even then, you're still statistically like 1,000 times more likely to die on the drive to the place than from a shark bite. So
I'll take an Uber.
Yeah. Good idea.
Well, Bobby's never admitted I was right about anything before, so I'm gonna quit while I'm ahead.
I feel like I admit that all the time.
I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying, see you next week, cruising with the twos. Give me $30,000 in cotton balls. Yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.